Hello, and welcome to another exciting episode of The Naked Englishman. I'm Richard Vobes, and with me is the lovely Julia.
Good morning.
Good morning. We are snuggled up on the sofa downstairs, while little Joe is asleep upstairs, so excuse the quiet and tones as we...
In fact, we just don't want to wake him up yet.
Not yet, because it's about 6:30. It's the 2nd of October. It's 2025. And I can't tell you what the weather's doing because they haven't opened the curtains yet. I just had a cup of coffee. You've had a nice cup of tea. And we have been making plans for our day ahead, which involves going to Wickes, having a look at various things. And
going to Wickes, having a look at various bobs and bits.
Yes, bobs and bits at jolly old Wickes.
Right.
Yesterday, we had a gate delivered to our land.
Yeah, we didn't take a fence, we took a gate.
Yes, and two posts.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a 12-foot gate, galvanised, heavy. And same with the posts. One's a hanging post, one's a locking post. And the task, which took quite a bit of time, was to find the right position for it to the entrance of our land. And as we explained yesterday, you've got the road and you sweep off the road onto this field where the entrance is, where there was no gate as such, just this knackered thing. And the old posts were timber and rotten, so we had to do that. And then dig two holes in the correct positions for these galvanised farm posts. So they just look like any other galvanised farm post. In fact, it's funny how you do a job, isn't it? And you start noticing all the other people who've done the job. And as we were driving back from having worked on this, and I'll talk about what we did in a minute, but driving back, I kept looking at fields with the same sort of
gate.
Yes. And I was interested to see how off the ground it was, how low they have them, how high, you know, etc. Because we dug the holes, we positioned the gate, but we hadn't yet concreted it in. Still got half a hole to do because the clay is quite rock hard. And these galvanised posts are required to go down quite deep. So it took a lot of time going through flint and various other things.
Layers and layers of stuff.
But in the end, we set it up once we've got the main hanging post in the right position and the depth. We positioned it and then stuck some larger rocks, and what would you call it?
Rubble.
Big chunks of rubble, just to hold it in position, not for permanent secureness, but just to hold it so that we could actually swing the gate. And of course, we had a little bit of clearance issue because there's an oak tree at one side. So we needed to make sure it didn't sort of stick out at an angle and prevent any vehicular access.
To make sure that it didn't impede the gate.
So,
but it turns out the position it's in is pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
So that's all good. And then we just got to dig out the other one. We also had to chop down some willows, which were growing a bit too tall and interfering with a electric cable that is overhead, that part of the land has sweeping across it. And we just wanted to make sure that it wasn't tickling the wires. And
anyway, don't want any excuse of them needing to come back on or anything like that.
Because these sort of electric company will be keeping an eye, I guess, on anything that is likely to cause those wires to come down.
Or to damage them in any way.
So I had to do that. But in order to get to them, they were in a big load.
Oh, guess what? Another thorn thicket.
Yeah.
Ha!
Another load of brambles. But we got in there. We got them off.
If riches were thorn bushes, we would be, you know, wealthy beyond measure.
Yeah.
But as it happens, got some oak trees. That's pretty wealthy.
Yeah. So did that. Did a bit of filming for the English couple. I went What else did we do? Did we go anywhere? No, we went straight to the lamb. We didn't have to. That's right. We were thinking we'd have to go and go to Wickes yesterday to get all this stuff, but we weren't quite ready. So
because of the rubble.
Yeah, we weren't quite ready because we haven't got the last hole done. So that's one thing to do. So today, so that took most of the day. It's quite staggering how long that took.
Well.
But it was a lot of faffing and positioning.
Like we say, there was a lot of faffing and working out where to put it. And then, of course, it's a deep hole.
Yeah.
And we did half dig one hole, and then we're like, hang on a minute. Oh, yeah.
I did forgot that. We dug one hole, and then we realised it wouldn't be straight. And, you know, anybody passing the gate would go, look at that naff gate. So we dug another hole.
backfilled the other one.
And backfilled it, yeah. So, yeah. But, you know, you learn by these things. And I have to rely on Julia a lot on the sight of things like that because I only have one eye. And it's very easy for me to go, oh, that looks straight. And then Julia
like
goes...
And I go, oh, that's rather wonky, isn't it? And he goes, no, it's straight.
As straight as a die, that is.
Sweetheart, but look at it from this angle. Oh, and yeah. He's like, no, it looks all right.
Oh, yeah, that's wonky town. I mean, there is a lot of wonky stuff in our...
And we love that.
In our...
Nice and unique.
Yeah, so... But not on the front.
No.
We don't want people to go, oh, look at that strange thing. You know, we just want it to blend in.
Yeah.
Like all other... blooming farm gates and stuff. So, yeah, and also, we'd like to do a good job.
Yes.
Because once you've concreted the blooming thing in, it's there.
Yeah.
And I don't want to have to dig it out.
And we don't want to have to stare at it, you know, come through it going, that thing's really not quite straight.
Yeah.
That'd be annoying forever.
Absolutely. So, anyway, today we're going to go and get some postcrete from Wickes. And we watched a video of this chap... who was on
makes
YouTube.
It looks very easy.
Made it look very easy. And so...
Hopefully it is.
Yeah, it will be a two-man job because those... We've got a... Oh, and I must remember to take my spirit level today.
Yes.
I've got one of those long spirit levels, so we'll need that. I've got two or three of them now because we were given a couple.
Yeah. Now, I'm sure there's many different little bushcraft ways of doing it, but...
Yeah.
We've got a spirit level. We'll just... Let me take it.
You could use as one of our friends suggested, and just, you know, take a stone on a piece of twine and you've got basically a plumb bob, you know, a bit of string, and that when it gives you gravity, it pulls the stone down, you hold it up, and when it stops moving about, you've got a straight line. But
plumb bob sounds like a quirky fairy.
Yeah, it's a plumber's thing.
Yeah,
obviously by the name. Nothing to do with the fruit.
Victoria plumb bob.
Yeah. So, Victoria Plum and Bob, they're a team, you know.
Yep.
Anyway, what was I going to say? So we're going to look at that. I need to have a look at a chainsaw. Now, I've got an electric chainsaw here, but we don't have any electricity up there, so I can't plug it into a tree.
No.
Or the ground.
I mean, as wonderful as trees in the ground are, they don't work like that.
No. So I want to have a look at that. There's no immediate need. Well, I do have an immediate need for it, but I don't have that immediate need today. But I want to have a look around. I've had a look online, but I just want to have a look. Wickes, I think. I can't remember if it's Wickes or B&Q. Don't like buying from B&Q as such, unless it's a brand name. And they probably only sell brand names, don't they? But I'll have a look in Wickes anyway. Can't be fagged to go up to B&Q. But I do want one, as somebody said in the comments yesterday on yesterday's video, buy good quality tools because they'll last you much longer.
Yeah, you need to be able to rely on them.
And we bought a good quality pitchfork, to think of the name, for pitching hay, and a
hay fork.
And no, that is the, well, the, that is okay. Yeah. The other one is the. What do you call
it? There's one with the two-pronged one,
yeah.
And there's one with the four.
Yeah, the four one is for the compost.
Right. Golly,
brain's slowly coming to terms.
It's a long-handled compost fork. Basically.
And they're brilliant.
Mm.
And they are, I mean, a pitchfork, two-prong pitchfork, for when you've just raked stuff up and you just lift it up, and the fact that it's got a long handle gives you the...
A big arch of movement.
Yeah, really, it's really interesting. Oh, another little task I did was there's a pathway down to the one end of the field, and it's all kind of not brambles, but thick grass. And I'd love to know what those little plants are, those funny little sort of star-shaped, well, those white, those green.
Or the one that is like a parsley.
Yeah.
Parsley family.
Yeah, there's billions of those.
Yeah.
And various other sort of plants and grasses that are just in the way. Anyway,
it's a good... We will come to being able to identify them before long.
Yes. Anyway, I've got the scythe out that we were given.
Yes.
And scythed down there. And actually, what's really interesting is this scythe, the proper scythe that was given to us by Sarah Fiona. Thank you, Sarah Fiona.
Thank you.
We've yet to film with it, but we will. It'll probably be in episode 6. It's so much easier than a strimmer.
Yes.
I mean, okay, it's not good on bracken and brambles and thick stuff like that, but for grass, stinging nettles and those sort of things, which
it's an absolute charm, isn't it?
It's a charm. It slices through it
like butter,
hot knife through butter, and it's extremely satisfying.
It's extremely satisfying to watch a very lovely man at work with it as well.
And I'm slowly getting the technique, because you kind of work out how to do it. So I'm not brilliant at it yet, but you could see the sweep where you bring it down and the blade down, so the blade gets low and horizontal and crosses in an arc in front of you, and then whisks up again so that it takes the cut material and dumps it to your left, in my case, because I'm right-handed. And you swish it, and then you, as you pull it back, because of the shape of that blade, which is, well, just think of the Grim Reaper, and you think of the, you know, the blade that's, it's like crescent moon to a point. And as you bring it back, of course, it comes out of that small pile of cut, freshly cut grass without returning it to it. Well, I can't do it every time at the moment, but it's very satisfying when it works, and you go, ah, I see the technique. So the more you do it, the better you get at it.
Yeah, I haven't been brave enough to try it too much yet. I've picked it up and swung it a few times, but...
Yeah, well, that was after me when I was irritating you, chasing me round the field. Help, help!
I'll slice your legs off, you brute. I'll slice them off.
Yes, yeah, so it's just got... I must take a little spanner, actually, to tighten those nuts on the handles. It's got nuts to, so you can move the handles up and down to suit your size. In fact, where it is perfectly fine at the moment for me. Mm. So I just need a spanner because they're loosening up. Mm. But and then we've got a whetstone with it, and
got a couple of bits and bobs with it.
Yeah, so I need to watch a video on how they use this particular. It's a flat whetstone, and they've only used one of those round ones on garden shears. So that's, you know, those sort of things are the jobs that you do in the evening when you're sitting by the fire, in your little cabin or whatever that you've got. They're the sort of nice little jobs, repairing things and tightening things and sharpening things and yep. polishing things, washing things, all those sort of things are like...
Oiling and greasing. And
oiling, yeah.
They're maintaining. All
like your evening jobs. And so looking forward to being able to do that. Looking forward to being able to go to the land for a couple of nights,
yeah.
you know, days, and then just stay a couple of nights before coming back.
Instead of trying to cram it all in a day and then having to deal with the travelling to and fro.
Yeah.
And all of the...
All
of the things that entails.
So yeah, it's all very exciting. It's all very absorbing. I tell you what, we came back yesterday, weren't we? We by the time we get back, it's late. We've got to light the Essie, get the food on. We had some very lovely steaks from Craig and Gillian, who have a farm in Ceriadigion. Ceriadigion, something like that.
I'm not going to embarrass myself by trying.
No, I have actually been to Ceriadigion. And I can't remember how you pronounce it now, but when we were there, and they still talk in Welsh there. It was years ago, and I was working for a video I was working for a radio station, and we had to go and film testimonials of the people who advertised on the radio station in Ceredigion. Kerry, it's not quite right. I haven't quite.
It sounds almost like Cardigan.
It is a bit like Cardigan.
Essentially, where that comes from, I would assume.
And and then so it's not too far, as I remember, from Aberystwyth, because we went, and one of the clients was Aberystwyth's Seaside Pier, and they were advertising. Anyway, we drove around, and we were interviewing someone, and he said, oh, a couple of the people will be talking in Welsh. And I said, oh, yeah. And part of the video was to pull out the right phrases from what they reply. So they get asked some questions, what's the best thing about advertising on radio? And they would say, in English, they would normally say things like, the best thing about advertising in radio is that it gets the message across as people are driving about the countryside, or it's the drip drip feed of the message. Oh, bless you. You're sneezing away. All that sort of thing. And I learned a lot about advertising from doing those. But, of course, I would edit out, take out the questions and then put the responses, but only the right responses, because sometimes people are a bit like rabbit in headlights because they're not used to being on camera, and you ask them a question and they meander around trying to answer it. You know, oh, well, one of the things about advertising that we like is, well, when you turn the radio on and there's music and then there's a break and then you get this advert, which might be our advert. And, you know, they meander through it, and you don't want that because it's got to be quick, precise,
sharp
and succinct. So they said some people will be talking in Welsh. And I said, well, I won't be able to edit that because I don't speak Welsh. And they said, oh, we didn't think of that. I said, you better ask them to speak in English. So we did. Anyway, that was quite funny at the time. But we went round these tiny little lanes in Ceredigion. It's I need to see it spelt. Anyway, I'm sure our Welsh friend Sean will be able to correct me on how it's pronounced.
He'll put us straight.
Absolutely. But why was I mentioning that in the first place?
Welsh meat.
Oh, yes. We had this steak.
Very, very lovely.
Very, very lovely. Very nice steak. Marbled with a little bit of fat in the middle. Shows good quality.
Yep.
And I mentioned them, and the website is in the link to yesterday's video. So if you're interested, and they do meat boxes, and they come to your door. I've got to do a video about it, but they sent us a number of samples. But I couldn't film us doing it. It's too difficult with the lighting and getting it cooked when we're knackered from a day, and then little Joe running around. And we were going to take some pictures. We didn't even do that.
No, we completely forgot, didn't we?
Yeah.
It looked and smelled so good. We were just like, mmm.
But before we use too much of the meat, we ought to...
Oh, bless me.
We'll try and get some pictures of the meat as it's wrapped in its thing. I mean, their packaging is on their website anyway, so we can always nick those pictures. I mean, the important thing is to say, genuinely, after eating, say, steaks and sausages and burgers and a lovely...
Sampling the range that they have sent us, basically.
Yeah, to be able to say genuinely that it is lovely and it is good quality and we liked it.
And if you can afford to support it, please do.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Yeah. So if that's somebody's thing, then... And they do it nationwide to the door. I think if you're local to them, you get a better discount, of course, because they haven't got to post it. All that sort of stuff. Anyway, we'll get round to doing that at some juncture. There's just, at the moment, there's so much on, and it will ease up as we get the essential job. Like the gate is an essential thing because that just stops anybody coming on the land.
Well, it gives us a peace of mind.
Peace of mind, yeah. Because at the moment, we're taking everything in the van to the land.
To and from.
We can't leave anything there because the field is just open. So till we've made a few measures on that side of things. And even then, I'm worried about what we leave. We need to have a workshop because we need to be able to step out of the rain when it's wet and make a cup of tea and those sort of things. So we need to be able to do that.
And so, yeah, we need to build a lock-up.
Yeah, and I don't want to put it, and I haven't got the money to do it, but one of these, what do you call these, containers. They're ugly. I mean, you could make them look nice by putting willow around it and all this sort of stuff, but the job of getting it into the, yeah. into the land and in position and the cost, they're about $5,000.
Mm.
You know, and yes, they would be very secure, but they are just tin boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't move them about if you're, you know, you put it in the wrong place, that's where it stays.
And you're stuffed.
And you are stuffed. So whereas at least with a cabin or a shed or a hut, you can take it down. Because that's the other thing, and it's people have said this to us, and it's obvious really, but you need to spend a year
getting to know
the land as the seasons come and go, what grows best where the light falls, how the rain dissipates, where it's more boggy and less boggy and all that. So there's no point putting in a great big container on a crane that would come up and then plonk it, and then you go, actually, it really needs to go. So you couldn't do that till end of year one anyway, when we'd discovered it. So we just need, everything is sort of needs to be basic to start with whilst we explore. Yeah, and
non-permanence, really.
Yeah. So we can take things down and shift them around and move them and what have you. So that's, anyway, it's all very exciting.
It's all learning curves.
And it's just very busy doing it. And that's, I'm loving it.
Busy yet exciting. I know I've probably overused that word lately, but...
It is exciting. Thrilling.
If the shoe fits...
Yeah. Anyway...
Does it fit? Are we Cinderella?
Yeah. Yeah, the glass slipper is on. Just
excellent.
Don't break it.
Just walk carefully.
Anyway, thank you very much for listening, if you did. And if you didn't, thank you very much for avoiding it. Very kind of you. Until the next one, take care, look after yourselves. Toodle pipe.
Toodle pipe.